Good morning. My name is Pastor Mike, and I want to welcome each and every one of you to church today at New Sharon Assembly of God. We encourage you to come as you are. If that means you're in a tux from prom, you come in your tux. If that means you're in your pajamas, you come in your pajamas. You just got off work and you're here. Let me make sure I'm safe to say that. I had an individual last night that I've been messaging that's asking for a meeting with me, and they jokingly said, I asked them if they were coming to church today, and they asked back, is it okay if I come with a hangover? And I said, listen, come as you are, brother. Jesus will just take that right away from you, and just go ahead. They're not here today, apparently, you know, whatever. You can be in prayer for that. An individual who is needing God desperately, and they're starting to seek. And this is the step that we want to take. So if you're here, I'm happy you chose to join us today. I'm happy that you're here. Today we're starting a brand new series. And this series is going to be 3 weeks long. And I believe it has the opportunity to be very transformative. God put this on my heart in a really hard, heavy way this week and gave me very clear direction on the three sermons, what they're going to look like, the content of them. And so today we start a series on forgiveness. We just talked about the crucifixion and resurrection in Sunday school today. And so today I have titled the sermon, How Can I Forgive Myself? And so let me invite you to open your Bibles if you have one this morning. Arvin brought one, so congratulations, Arvin. And I hope you have one with you or someone next to you has one that you can look on with. And if you don't worry about it. We have it on the overhead. And it'll be on the screen as I read it. Our main scripture today is 1 Timothy chapter 1, 15 through 17. Now, let me put a side note here. We have a lot of scripture to read through today. So when we're done reading scripture, don't close your Bible. Because I'm going to that, or you can jot down all the scriptures. I'll have them up on the overhead, at least for you to write down the main reference, and you can go and look at it later if you'd like to. But we have a lot of scripture to go through today. Now, here's one thing interesting. The Bible has a lot to say about forgiveness, but nowhere in the Bible does it specifically address the concept of forgiving yourself. Nowhere does it say to forgive yourself, right? Who do we go to for forgiveness? Jesus, right? However, we can look at scripture and we can look through what is taught throughout from the beginning to the end, and we can understand that forgiving yourself is evidence of your understanding of God's forgiveness. If we understand God's forgiveness in our life, then we can forgive ourselves. Okay? So until I understood God's forgiveness, I had a hard time in my life forgiving myself of things that I had done. I approached Christianity is this thing that you have to work at. It's not relational, rather it's transactional, which means I have to work to pay off for my sins. Who knows if that's absolutely 100% contrary to what the gospel message is, right? But do you know how many Christians are trapped in that transactional relationship with Jesus? Because they think they have to work off their sin. For the longest time, I carried with me the guilt of my actions. Who did a lot of silly things as a teenager, as a child, that you wish today you would have never done? Every hand in here should be raised, right? We've all done things that we wish we shouldn't have done. And I prescribe to a version of shame and self-punishment. Because what happens when you get caught in a lie? Shame. What happens when you get caught stealing or hurting somebody? Shame, right? Shame. The shame is meant to keep us down, by the way. But then self-punishment. Well, I can't step into the church until I get this right in my life. Who's heard that? You invite them to church? Last night, well, you care if I come home? Yeah, go ahead, be here. Don't let that be an excuse. Don't let where your life has taken you, the choices in your life, dictate every day from here on out. Because when Jesus gets a hold of you, everything is different from here on out. I may be the only one excited about that this morning, but to live in a way that I I was shaming myself, carrying that shame, that self-punishment. It's harmful, it's not healthy, and it's a denial of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm sure most of us can share similar stories of our lives before Jesus. We made choices, we carried out actions that were wrong, hurtful, deceitful, things that scarred you, scarred others, and things that you can look back on now and say, gosh, I wish I would have never done that. Where was my head when I did that? Who knows, sometimes we just have to grow up. Right? Hindsight's always 20/20. We can even have things that we carry that are just so shameful we don't want to talk about them. But these are all things prior to God that you learn to live with because you can't forgive yourself. Because you won't forgive yourself. You've decided to now carry this shame as your way to remind you that you're never going to be good enough. Listen, none of us are good enough. Okay? Romans 3:23. Arvin, what does it say since you read it this morning? Wage of sin is death. So if we have sin in our life, we all fall short, right? And so we are not meant to carry this shame. Rather, we're supposed to walk in forgiveness. Very early in my exploration of Jesus, so many of you know my story, some of you don't. My first Sunday here was about tithing. And I was asking a bunch of questions about tithing, trying to prove God wrong before the Sunday I stepped in here. I've been here since that sermon, and somehow I became your pastor. And so that's just evidence of God's miraculous work in someone's life. But prior to that, because I struggled with not forgiving myself and carrying the shame and feeling like I could never be forgiven by God. Have you ever been in the spot where someone invites you to church and you're like, I am so bad, I can't step into church because I know God's not going to forgive me. You ever been there? Am I the only one? I didn't think I could step foot into a church because why would God forgive somebody like me? If I can't forgive myself, how can God forgive me? So what I did is I sat down with the pastor and I asked him about God's forgiveness. And I told him how I didn't think it was for me because I was so, quote unquote, bad. I was so bad. Now, side note on that. That's a lie from Satan. You need to rebuke it in the name of Jesus because you are not so bad. Jesus' blood was enough to cover all sins. There is nothing in your life when you give your life to Jesus that can separate you from Him. We are blood-bought, blood-bathed, and now we look white as snow because of the sacrifice of Jesus, because He uttered the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus had to be forsaken so we would not be forsaken. The pastor asked for my reasoning behind my thinking. Hey, Mike, explain this to me. Why do you think you're too bad for God to forgive you? And so I proceeded to tell him all that I had done, what made me a bad person, and the people that it may have impacted. The greatest thing that this man could have done first is he didn't judge me. Listen, if you're going on a journey with somebody and you're inviting them to church and you're talking to them about Jesus, the last thing you need to do is pass judgment on them. Let the Holy Spirit take care of that. What is our job? Tell them the gospel message. That's it. If you are not God, you have no business passing judgment. Now, that is a different type of judgment than what you should do with Christians in the church who are doing things wrong. It is absolutely okay to make a judgment on that. Scripture is very clear on that, okay? Don't call me tomorrow morning and tell me I was wrong. You most certainly can if you find that I am, by the way. So he didn't judge me, and he said this, Mike, God is willing to forgive you, but you have to learn to forgive yourself as well. You have to forgive yourself of all of that so you can walk in your forgiveness with Christ. God will make you a new creation when you receive His forgiveness. That means at the moment of forgiveness, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Okay? Then he proceeded to say, have you told these individuals Or do they know about these items? Like, have you had these conversations with those that you have hurt? And I answered that some did, but some didn't. And he suggested this. He said, you should call them or see them. You should sit down, if possible, and offer them a sincere apology. Apologize for the things that you've done. Now, it will not be fun. It will be hard. Who enjoys apologizing? I don't see a single hand up. It won't be fun. It's going to be hard. And you best expect people to be upset with you. However, you can write this down. It is not your job to make people forgive you. It's only your job to sincerely apologize. Do you know how much weight that takes off when you understand that if somebody chooses to not forgive you, that's not on you? That's between them and God now. I've done my part and I've apologized. Does that make everything better? No. Does that mean the relationship? No. They still may hate me for the next 20 years. But I've apologized. And I meant it. And if I could go back and take back every wrong thing I've ever done in my life, believe me, I would. As I'm sure everybody in here today would. So as you know, I'm a person of action. I don't wait. When I know the direction I have to go, it's get to business. And so when we finished our meeting that night, we were meeting in Smoky Row in Pella. We ended our meeting, we prayed, and I started sending text messages, making phone calls, asking to meet or to have a phone call. And over the next 36 hours of my life, I confessed my wrongdoing. I apologized for what I did or said to everyone that I felt like I needed to apologize for. Would you know that not a single conversation was fun? Not a single conversation was it something I wanted to do. It was the hardest thing that I've had to do in my life. But the thing that I think helped is knowing that I can't make them forgive me. Only God can heal and lead them to that forgiveness. All I can do is simply apologize. This is another thing that stands out to me, is my sin was against others, right? So when you hurt somebody, you sinned against them, but who are you actually sinning against? God. It's ultimately sinning against God. It's His law that I sinned against, not their law. They're under the same law as I am. It's not their law, it's His law. So all of my actions hurt someone. And it may be something, all of our actions, in fact, all of our actions may hurt someone. Have you ever hurt anybody? Right? Right? It may be something that hurts the relationship. It may be something that strains the relationship. It may be something that just flat out ends the relationship. But in truth, it's a sin that's hurting your relationship with God. Now, you could argue both relationships are important, but I will tell you, your relationship with God is more important than any earthly relationship that you have. So what I found to be true is because my sin had a negative impact on someone else, it's a lot harder to forgive yourself. So when you hurt somebody to their core, it's a lot harder to forgive yourself because you know the pain and the hurt that you inflicted on somebody else. That's still out there festering. Maybe they've learned to move on and live on. It's still a hurt that's there. Our sticky statement for today is you can't forgive yourself until you receive God's forgiveness. Let's get to our Bible reading this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. It says this, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. By the way, this is Paul. This is Paul writing a letter to Timothy, okay? The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. In other versions, he says, I am the worst. Paul says, I am the worst of sinners. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, or as the worst sinner, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word today. And Lord, I pray that you would reveal the truth of this scripture and Paul's thinking behind it. And Lord, what it means in our life, what it means to truly step into your forgiveness and walk into your freedom. Father, I pray for anybody here today that has a need to ask for forgiveness. Lord, I pray that you would give them the wisdom and the courage to do so. Lord, that they would find victory and freedom in your name today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the emphasis on today's sermon is on verse 15. And this, again, this is Paul writing a letter to Timothy. But Paul states that Jesus came to save sinners. Paul then declares himself as the worst of sinners. Now, if you don't know about Paul, we need some context here. Here's the scriptures behind. You can write those down and go read them yourself later if you would like. But if you have your Bible open, you can turn it to Acts chapter 7, verse 58. And it says this, then they took him, who is him? Him is Stephen. Okay? So then they took him, Stephen, out of the city and threw stones at him. The men who were throwing the stones laid their coats down in front of a young man named Saul. Does anybody know who Saul was? Paul. Who's Paul? Paul's the one that just wrote the letter to Timothy that said, I am the worst of sinners. So he was at Paul's death. Then turn with me to Acts chapter 22, verses 4 through 5. This is Paul giving testimony of his life, of who he was. It said, I worked hard and killed men and women who believed as I believe today. So prior to his conversion, Paul was killing the very Christians that he was now preaching Christ about and to. I put them in chains and I sent them to prison. The head religious leader and the leaders of the people can tell you that this is true. I got letters from them to take our Jewish brothers in the city of Damascus. I was going there to put the Christians in chains and bring them to Jerusalem where they would be beaten. So this is Paul saying, this is what I did. Acts chapter 22, go down to verse 19 through 20. I said, Lord, they know I took Christians out of every Jewish place of worship. I had them beaten and put in prison. Also, back to our Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was killed, I stood there and watched them throw stones at him. Those who threw the stones had me watch their coats. Turn a couple chapters to Acts chapter 26, 9 through 11. Again, another testimony that Paul is giving. It says, I used to think I should work hard against the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I did that in Jerusalem. I put many of the followers in prison. The head religious leaders gave me the right and the power to do it. Then when the followers were killed, I said it was all right. I beat them and I tried to make them speak against God in all of the Jewish places of worship. In my fight against them, I kept going after them, even into cities and other countries. Paul was on a mission to eradicate the Christian faith. He did everything imaginable to do so. The same way that the Pharisees and the religious leaders of Jesus' time tried to snuff out the message that he brought. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 1, 21 through 24. This is Paul again. I went from Jerusalem to the countries of Syria and Cilicia. None of the Christians in the churches in the country of Judea had ever seen me. So they had no idea who Paul was. Go back to last week's sermon. What was last week's sermon title? Does anyone remember? Names have meanings. Let's look at this next verse. Chapter 23. The only thing they heard was, the one who tried to destroy the Christian church is now preaching the good news. They knew who Paul was. By his actions, they knew who Paul was. Verse 24. And they gave thanks to God because of me. How can he go from murdering Christians to now being the one to preach the good news that the Galatians are now giving thanks to God because of it? Paul had a reputation of causing pain, grief, hurt, strife, separating families, hurting families, tearing families apart. I think we can all agree he had a very negative impact on many lives. Can we all agree to that today? But Acts 9. But Acts 9 changed Paul's life forever. This is the same power that we all have access to that can change each and every one of our lives. So turn your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 9, verses 3 to 9 today. He being Paul, this is before he was on his way to Damascus to go imprison, beat, kill the Christian believers. He went on his way until he came near Damascus. All at once he saw a light from heaven shining around him. He fell to the ground. Then he heard a voice say, "Saul, Saul, why are you working so hard against me?" Saul answered, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus, the one whom you are working against. You hurt yourself by trying to hurt me." Saul was shaken and surprised. Then he said, "What do you want me to do, Lord?" The Lord said to him, "Go into the city, and you will be told what to do." Those with Saul were not able to say anything. They heard a voice, but they saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and when he opened his eyes, he saw nothing. They took him by the hand and led him to Damascus. He could not see for 3 days. During that time, he did not eat or drink. Listen, on this road to Damascus, Paul encountered Jesus Christ. Paul met the Savior face to face and in one moment experienced complete and utter forgiveness. Do we have a tower of light falling out of heaven around us? And no. But do we encounter the same power of forgiveness from Jesus? Oh, absolutely we do. Do we understand the power of the forgiveness given to us at the moment of meeting Jesus face to face? It is completely life-changing. Now, what we know after when we read Galatians, he said they thank God because of me. Because Paul, what we see in the rest of the New Testament after his conversion, Paul worked tirelessly to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. He did not stop. He did not slow down. He did not care if people would listen or not. He told others about Jesus Christ and about the gospel until his death. A little side note here. It doesn't say until his retirement. It says until his death. Paul could acknowledge his past life. We know that. We see evidence when you look at Acts chapter 22 and Acts chapter 26 when he's giving an account for his life and how Jesus changed his life. These are just the very beginnings of his testimonies on that. Paul could acknowledge his past life, but he understood the grace and the totality of Christ's forgiveness in his life that he received through the death of Jesus. Paul was able to forgive himself because Jesus Christ forgave him. You cannot forgive yourself until you receive God's forgiveness. This morning I hope, oh boy do I hope, and I pray that you're able to see the correlation between God's forgiveness and our own forgiveness. Jesus' sacrifice was enough for any and all of our sins. Forgiving yourself has to do more with receiving God's forgiveness in your life than it does anything. While the concept is easy to understand, just receive God's forgiveness, right? No big deal. Hey, just receive it and life is hunky-dory. It's great life, right? Easy. I've never hurt anybody, right? No. Listen, you see those people in public, what comes back? The hurt that you inflicted, right? So it may be easy, but it's not always easy to put into practice. And I can testify to that. I know, and I've struggled with this firsthand, actually forgiving yourself can be more difficult than to actually practice. Just because, at the end of the day, whose desire is it to keep us away from Jesus? Satan, right? So it's Satan's desire to continually remind you of your past. He wants to continually bring up your past and say, oh, hey, do you remember when you did this? Do you remember when you hurt this person? Do you remember? God's not going to forgive you. It's his job to accuse you of your old sins. It's his job to try to keep you away from receiving Jesus' forgiveness. He's even willing to use your family and friends to remind and to accuse you of your past. There is no area or length that he won't go to remind you of your sins, to not allow you to live in the freedom of God's forgiveness. Because if he can keep you feeling guilty, if he can make me feel guilty and make me have shame, then he can render you defeated in your Christian faith. You want an ineffective Christian? Put shame and guilt on them. They don't understand the forgiveness and the grace that they are covered with. The result of that is what I talked about at the very beginning, the self-punishment. The result is to start working for our salvation, working to pay off as penance for our sins. Now all of a sudden we have a penance that we have to pay because I did this and I did that. Listen, that's not living free in Christ Jesus. That is not a Christian who is living a free life. What can some of these sins be? Listen, these sins can be anything that's against God's word, right? First and foremost. I'm just going to name a few, though. It could be physical abuse, verbal abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse. It could be infidelity. It could be stealing, slandering, lying, gossiping, murder, shaming, bullying, or just straight up hurting others. This is by no means an exhaustive list. But it's Satan's job to remind you of the hurt that you've caused to others so you won't forgive yourself. Because if you won't forgive yourself, you haven't truly received the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. The message of the gospel says otherwise. The message of the gospel, as Christians, we are not to be living in guilt or self-punishment. You can write this down if you want. Ready? Doing so is a denial of the truth of the gospel. If you are a Christian walking around with shame and guilt and self-punishment, you're denying the truth of the gospel message. We'll let that linger for a second. So, what is the truth of the gospel? It's this. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I think we can all agree we're all there, right? We are all sinners who are dead in our sin. Then we go to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of our sin, we all deserve death. But because of Jesus, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that what? The world might be saved through him. Verse 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned. If you don't have anybody to condemn you of your sin, should you carry around shame and guilt of your sin? No! He is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The gospel tells us that God's wrath for sin has been poured out on Jesus. Totally holy. I was reading this morning in my Bible reading, when Jesus is in the garden, three times he goes and he prays and he says, God, take this cup away from me. But not my will, your will. He was nailed to that cross for our sins, our transgression, all the things that make us dirty, despicable human beings. Christ paid for it all. But he had to be forsaken in doing so to carry it all. Because of that, justice has been served. We don't have a penance to pay anymore. We don't have to work a certain way because justice has already been served. We have been forgiven by God. Write this down. Therefore, if we have been forgiven by God, therefore we can forgive ourselves. This is not transactional, but it's relational. Meaning, we don't come to Jesus as Savior, but not Lord. If we come to Jesus as Savior, but not Lord, we have the gospel message completely wrong. That is not experiencing God's grace and freedom. It keeps us coming back full of shame to ask for forgiveness again and again and again and again. Rather, when we admit our sin and we receive that forgiveness, when we receive God's forgiveness, we are saved from our punishment. Death. What is the punishment of death? Or punishment of sin? I just told you the answer. It's death. The punishment of sin is death. But when we receive that forgiveness, we become children of God. We receive the Holy Spirit in our lives, and He is with us forever. We're forever changed. Even though that our sin has caused damage, even though our sin hurt others, it hurt us, it put strains on relief, there is nothing that God's redemptive power cannot overcome. Do I need to say that again? There is nothing that God's power, redemptive power, cannot overcome in your life. This is true in Paul's life. We see that he was the worst of sinners, but then we see the Galatian church thanking God because Paul was here to preach the gospel. It's true in my life, and listen, it can be true in your life today as well. You cannot forgive yourself until you receive God's forgiveness in your life. Does that mean that I don't remember my sins? No, of course not. They're always there as a reminder of who I once was. They're always there to remind me of how bad I was. But they're also a reminder of what God pulled me out of. And it prompts me to praise God for His mercy and grace in my life. Listen, if Christ has saved you from your life of sin, you have much to praise His name about this morning. Today, listen, church, today God wants you to walk in freedom. He wants you to walk in the freedom that Paul talks about, that he experienced. He wants you to fully understand His grace, and He wants you to grasp it. He wants you to receive forgiveness of your sins so you can forgive yourself and start walking in the freedom that He designed us as Christians to walk in. At the end of the day, forgiving yourself is really just receiving God's forgiveness in its fullest, purest form. I am undeserving. I am not worthy. But he saw it fit to pour that grace upon my life and every one of your lives in here today. The way he intended it to be. It was never meant to be something that enslaved us to work. It was meant to free us, to walk free as Christians in relationship with him. In that, there's freedom to be had. So I'm curious this morning, how many of us know someone who walks around defeated? How many of us know someone who walks around ridden with guilt because of their life? Maybe a Christian or a non-Christian. They walk around punishing themselves for the things that they've done in their life. They're undeserving. I have to work a little bit harder, a little bit longer, or maybe I didn't do this right and I need to do this now to be forgiven of this sin from 25 years ago. Did you know that everyone outside of a relationship with Jesus carries guilt and shame over something in their life? There's even Christians today that walk around carrying shame and guilt in their life. And God says, I have given you grace. Walk in my freedom. Many think they can't experience forgiveness because like I said in the beginning when I talked to the pastor in Pella, because they are so quote-unquote bad. They are too bad. So I can't receive forgiveness. I can't possibly step foot into the church because I'm a bad person. This is a lie that Satan peddles. He wants people trapped. He wants to keep them from coming to Jesus. Lastly, there's people in the community. There's people here today and in the community who need to experience forgiveness of their sins so that they can forgive themselves. There's freedom waiting for you today. This is why our mission statement is engaging, Joel, if you want to come up. This is why our mission statement is engaging our community for Jesus. Church, we have a job to do. I saw a video this week. I don't remember his last name, but his first name's Cliff. Does anybody know who I'm talking about? The apologist that goes to college campuses. His first name's Cliff. Joel, do you know who I'm talking about? I'll post it on Facebook if I can find it again. He's telling a story. Some people think I'm crazy because I go to college campuses and I talk to the kids and teach them about Jesus and who he is. And he said what drives him, someday he's going to be in heaven. And the last thing that he wants to happen is to get a tap on the shoulder and the person behind him says, why didn't you tell me that this is what life was all about? Well, you know, I was trying to be cool, I was trying to say the right thing, act the right way. I wanted to fit in with the crowd, so I didn't think it was the right time to tell you. Listen, we have a job to do, church. Engaging our community for Jesus is not about May baskets. It's not. It's an avenue. It's not about May baskets. It's not about care packages. It's not about doing stuff out at the school and taking stuff out to the school that has nothing to do with it. What it has is developing relationships where we can have conversations about the saving power of Christ Jesus that we have experienced, that everybody else who hasn't experienced needs to experience it. So when I say we have a job to do, we have a job to do. We have a job to share the gospel message. We have a truth that everybody needs to know. And whether or not they admit it, they want to know the truth and the freedom that we know in the gospel of Jesus. We should be spending every single day of our lives telling someone about Jesus. If you would you just close your eyes, bow your heads with me today? You can't begin to forgive yourself until you've received God's forgiveness. Maybe you've kept God at an arm's distance. Maybe you're in and out of church. You're trying to live the right life. You're trying to get things straight. You've kept God at an arm's distance. You're hesitant to fully commit to a relationship with Him because you have things in your life that you think disqualify you from receiving God's grace and forgiveness. Rather, the cross says you do qualify. You do qualify. Today you can step completely into that freedom. You can shed the self-punishment. You can leave the guilt at the door, and you can step in and know Jesus completely and step into freedom from your sins. This morning you can receive forgiveness, and you can also forgive yourselves. So whether this is in a brand new way, you've never asked Jesus into your life, or this is in a fresh way, you've been that person that's kept him at arm's length. I'm good this week, I'm bad this week, I'm good next week, I'm bad for 3 weeks, and then I'm good for a day before I'm... Listen, not only do we receive forgiveness, we become a new creation. Our desires become new. And so whether in a new way or fresh way, if you need to be in a relationship with Christ Jesus, would you raise your hand this morning? Church, here's how I'd like to close out today. Maybe you've been hanging on to some things in your life. Maybe you have some guilt. You have some things that you haven't forgiven yourself of. Things that maybe you thought you had, but when you think of that person that you hurt or the people that you hurt, guilt and shame come back onto your life. These are things that Satan is holding over your head to keep you from walking in full, complete victory with Jesus. Today, it's time that you walk in the truth of the gospel. So as the worship team leads us in a song, we all have a chance to respond in here today. You can respond wherever you're at, but there is something powerful about approaching the altar of God and saying, God, I need you. So I encourage you this morning, come to the front, seek God. Let him speak truth and love over your life, receive his forgiveness, and today you accept that real freedom that comes through his forgiveness. You can't forgive yourself until you receive God's forgiveness.